preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, In thee shall all nations be blessed. So then, they which be of faith are blessed with who? Faithful Abraham. Praise God. All right, let's see what we have to say here. Praise God. The particular teaching that we're doing here is called Living in the Supernatural. And this particular teaching is subtitled Mystery of the Supernatural. Mystery of the Supernatural. Now, we started this series last Sunday or whenever I last preached. And we're talking about this time that we're living in right now, that it's a time for the church, because there are going to be problems right now that are happening that are going to have to be solved on another level. The level one problems are not going to be solved with level one solutions. They're going to have to take another level. And this is where the church comes into its own, meaning that this is a time for us, because this is the level that we have been born and designed to operate in, the level of the supernatural. Now, just go back and just digress just a minute. Adam was now created and made. In chapter 1 of Genesis, he was created. In chapter 2, the Bible says God formed his body. So he put this man in a body, and he is spirit. Now Adam is operating based on his image of God, meaning that the way that Adam was able to be able to fellowship with God and talk with God is through this image, and that the power and the ability of God in Adam's life was coming and flowing through this image that Adam had of himself. Adam saw himself in, or saw himself as God saw himself, with that same nature. And now God is got Adam in the garden, and of course then came Eve, and Adam was doing supernatural things. The earth and the heavens, for example, were not two, they were one in the garden. That same thing that's in heaven is basically on earth. The things, the trees there, the gold there, the jewels and so forth, all of that same thing is in the earth. The Garden of Eden set up an atmosphere of heaven for Adam. Adam was clothed with the glory of God. He had no idea. He didn't have on any clothes as we know them. So Adam was able to do things on a supernatural plane. So this garden was a kind or type of a kingdom of God. So Adam was able to function in the three-dimensional and the fourth-dimensional realm at will. So now we're coming into a time, and I've been preaching on a time of restoration. That when Jesus came into this earth, the Bible calls him, by revelation, the Apostle Paul calls him, the last Adam. That he used to function just like the first Adam and show us how the first Adam actually operated and the dominion that he had in this earth. So now, Jesus came, and one of the things that happened in Jesus' ministry that distinguished him is signs and wonders and miracles, that he was considered a miracle worker. Now, this didn't start until after he got anointed, and it was his time in coming into ministry. So, as we look at this, mankind from the fall of Adam began to deteriorate in terms of his ability to manage this earth. Adam didn't know how to die. He had to talk himself to death because he wasn't designed to die. He lived some 900 and some odd years. And so as we look at this, now mankind is then goes on, and God had a man named Noah and called Noah to build an ark. And Noah built the ark. If you read anything in Genesis, I see nothing about the University of Chicago School of Engineering in there, because it didn't have that, didn't need it. He still was operating in principles that were the principles of the of heaven, of God, and had enough of that residual still operating in him through the principles, and was able to build that ark. He was, the Bible refers to him as receiving grace from God as a righteous man. And God gave him knowledge, gave him dimensions of the ship, or it was really a barge or whatever have you. And he built this, and he also gathered the angels, animals for him, and brought him in. Get out of here, devil, in Jesus' name. And so now, if you look even at the life of the building of the Tower of Babel, you see how this tower was being built, and God had just come in and stopped the building. Because again, they were operating in enough of the principles by which he taught Adam, by which they were building and were building. And that's why God said, nothing will be restrained from them, which they have imagined to do. And so now he stopped it. And ever since then, the Babylonian kingdom, whatever rises in that kingdom, it only rises to a certain point and then it falls. Whether it be communism or whatever it be, it can only go to a certain point and it can go no further. So now as we look at this, mankind fell to a place where his senses began to feed the knowledge into his mind as to what was going on. But the problem with that is you had an enemy out here named the devil, Satan, Lucifer, or his name used to be Lucifer, but he was an enemy of God and he could deceive. And as long as mankind was operating purely by his senses, he could be deceived. And so, as a result of that, the Bible calls Satan the god of this world, or world system. And now, Adam is operating only what we call naturally, only out of his senses. And that's where people are pretty much today. True enough, they're building line upon line, even in that realm of knowledge, and gaining and making some headway, but they really are not understanding what's behind it all and what spirits can be influencing them to do certain things that would cause this world destruction. If you go in many universities, still teach that evolution is where man came from, that man evolved from a monkey. Well, that's not what it says in the Bible. Now, understand, people believe that, and so they believe it, draw up charts, and everything else to go along with it, but that doesn't make it true. The Bible says there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end of that way is death. So what did they do to it to keep you from arguing with them? They voted Bibles out of schools, so you wouldn't come up with how God really made man and how God is supreme to man. So in this, we see that the belief system of man has been tainted, or there has been a distorted image of who he really is, and that now God has to get back into this earth, and he began to come back through this plan of redemption and come back into the earth. Now here's Jesus, and Jesus comes back into the earth, and he begins to operate in another realm. He begins to preach on something called the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is an invisible kingdom, the realm of God, the rule of God, but it operates on another level. It's another level of power, another level of peace, another level of joy, another level of deliverance, another level of prosperity, another level of whatever you can think of is another level of wisdom, revelation, whatever. It's going up to another level. And now at that level, that's where things can be solved. That's where problems that men could not solve in the natural realm, they could solve them from that spiritual realm. Now, the devil causes many of the problems in this earth, and people, like I said, have been trying to solve it naturally, but it's been very difficult for them to solve. So now Jesus is coming in, and where people say things were impossible, all of a sudden, through Christ, they became possible. And so, as we go into this and look at this today, one of the things that I want you to do is start to eliminate the word impossible from your vocabulary. That now we're coming into a season of supernatural. We're coming into a time now that the church is going to manifest those things that we have been supposed to be manifesting in the first place. If we look at this, Jesus had a certain spiritual capacity. And I think some of that was brought out, and I just want to show you some of this. Maybe I shouldn't move this fast. Hold on just a minute. Let me just hear God on this. Let's go to first to look at Jesus. Let's go over to Mark's gospel. No. Let's go over to John's gospel and John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Over in John chapter 14, I'd like to start reading at verse 10. He says this, "Believe thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me. The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works." Now, who doeth the works? The Father. All right, now, this is interesting because this is where Jesus was trying to get the religious people to understand that it wasn't him that was doing this, but it was the Father. He was the one that was doing it. Look what it said in John chapter 10, please, if you come back over there for a minute. It said in verse 30, "I and my Father are one." Verse 31, "Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him." Jesus answered them, "Many good works have I shown you from my Father. Now, which of these works do you stone me?" Now, why are you going to stone me? I'm not doing this. It's the Father in me. He's doing this. Now, understand, God desires to work through you and do the supernatural and miracles through you. Now, what we started out with last week, we started out talking about the word condemnation. Now, understand, once you and I are born again, you and I are born again from above. The Bible talks about us being born not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, that we were born with the same thing in us that God has in him. Hello. And we were born from heaven's atmosphere. We have been placed in this body, and this is the way that we're going to have our lives in this earth until Jesus comes or tarries and we go on to be with the Lord. Now, in this, we're going to basically be operating the same way that he did, that we are going to have the image of God. Now, let's go over to 2 Corinthians in chapter 3, please. And over in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, he says here in verse 17, "Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? Liberty." Now we're talking about liberty. We'll talk about that as we go on this year. But liberty is talking about having a freedom to express yourself, glory to God, outside of the boundaries of your flesh. Look what it said in verse 18. "But we all, with an open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into that same image from glory," come on, "to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." So we're going to be changed. And we're changed as we behold him. In the Bible says, I just want to read it for you, in James, in James chapter 1, he says that, that "be ye doers of the word," this is James 1:22, "and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any of you being a hearer of the word, not a doer, he's like a man beholding his face, his natural face in a glass, and beholding, he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway he forgets what manner of man he was." So the word of God is the image of God, Lord Jesus. And as you look in the word and you look at what the word says about you, and you carry that out, you not only just hear it, but do it, then you are changed into that same image. You see, the biggest thing that Adam lost in the garden was the image of God. I said the image of God. Are you with me? The power and ability of God flowed through the image of God. And what the enemy wants to rob you of is the correct image. He wants you to have a distorted image of who God thinks or says you are. But you're going to go in this Bible and you're going to find the true image of what he said. Now, what I talked about is the fact of condemnation last time. And I said condemnation is a disease of the spirit, just like cancer is a disease of the body. And condemnation, guilt, shame, and all these things will not only distort the picture of how you see yourself, but it will distort the revelation that you can get from God. There is therefore now what? No condemnation. Now, if I take a glass of water and I'll shine a light through it, this light will come in, the water will allow the light to pass right through. But if I take the water and I put some mud in it and stir it up, now all of a sudden it's hindering the light that would come in. Condemnation is mud that hinders the light and power of God from coming through you and being able to address the needs of humanity. Oh, come on now, you got to stay with me. You see, the kingdom of God now is being preached again. Why? Because we've had divided camps. We've had this camp and the Baptist camp and the Church of God, all these camps. And folks, all that, each one of them thought the other one wasn't saved. And what I'm saying is the kingdom is a different paradigm. It's not talking about division, but it's talking about one. And in that, you'll see some of the other religions or faiths, if you will, they even have a kingdom concept because they know that it's all one. I mean, they all meet together as one. Why? They all are part of that religion. I'm just saying Christianity had broken up the camp over here, camp over there, but all that, those walls are coming down. And now it's going to be a kingdom consciousness where you're just not going to come in a church, but you're going to come in a church to get refueled so that you can go back out there. And in the place that you are, no longer will you debate with Sister So-and-so about she didn't come from a rhesus monkey, but you will demonstrate what you are saying is true. Now, you got to hear what I'm saying now. I'm saying that the devil fears the demonstration. Paul said it like this over in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 4. And my speech and my preaching was not in the enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Why? That your faith shall not rest or stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. I'm saying that one miracle is worth 1,000 sermons. And so the enemy doesn't want the church to move into that realm. And the church, for the most part, hasn't moved into the realm. It's because most of the time, one of the things had been condemnation. That we are still trying to work out, are we saved or not? We're still trying to work out, are we forgiven or not? Let me remind you of this. Glory to God. That once you got born again, the slate got clean. And then when you come in here and miss it, you can cleanse it again by confessing what you've done. And he's faithful and just to cleanse you of all unrighteousness. Now, my point to you is, hey, wait a second. I've got to take this into my life because I've got to have the life and the power and the light of God to come through my life. And it can't come through with guilt, with shame, with a sense of inferiority, so forth and so on. Hey, you shouldn't be ashamed of anything. Say amen to that. You're a child of God, and God is the one who justified you. God is the one, he said, you are accepted in the beloved, and you don't have to be ashamed of where you were born, how you were born. Come on now. I don't know who my daddy is. Yes, you do. Your daddy is God. It's right in here. It's right here, right here. Come on, you don't have to be ashamed if you've got a penitentiary record. You don't have to be ashamed if you got the child out of wedlock. I'm saying, yes, it happened. I know it shouldn't have happened, but it did happen. And that's why he's got the blood here, because it did happen. But the enemy took advantage of you just like he took advantage of Eve in that garden. She was deceived. She didn't do it on purpose. My point to you is this, is that God has a way of fixing it so that you can come back into perfect fellowship with him. Perfect fellowship means that I can hear God just like I hear my own prayer. I can hear him so clear. I don't have to be, well, what do you think the Lord is saying? I don't have to do that anymore. I'll just say, yes, Lord, thank you. I appreciate that. Say amen to this. Now, this is something that sometimes people don't want to preach because they feel that they're giving people a license to go and mess up. I'm not doing that. I'm saying that all of this is coupled with the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is a reverent respect for him. I'm just saying, but you've got to be in a place where you can receive the benefits of the liberty of God, of the forgiveness of God, and for the right of the righteousness of God. It says over in Romans chapter 5, glory to God, and verse 17, it says that for by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in what? Life by what? One, Jesus Christ. So reign as kings. For me to reign in this life, I'm going to have to take advantage of God's grace. For me to reign in life, I'm going to have to believe that I am the righteousness of God. Say amen to that. Now, I'm saying that the enemy is after your image because he knows through your image flows the power and the anointing of God. Say amen to that, through God's image in you. Now, let me go. Praise God. All right, so now we, what I was getting at is that we have the same spiritual capacity as Jesus. Now, when I say that, I mean him in his human form here in this earth, that God loves you just as much as he loved him. And that he's given you capacity. He said, let this mind be in who? You, the same as it was in Christ. So you have that same capacity. The Bible says we are his fullness. We are his fullness. We are his workmanship. So when I say that, I mean that this, my God shall supply all my what? Need. According to what? His riches in glory by who? Christ Jesus. So God, I need God because he's going to supply all my need. Am I right about it? But guess what? He needs you. He made a covenant with Adam that said, let them have dominion. Say amen to that. So he gave dominion to people. So he has to operate through us. Say amen to that. So if he's got to operate through us, he needs your hands. He needs your feet. He needs your mouth. God could have just gone down there and did something to Pharaoh himself and gotten children of Israel free. He didn't do that. What did he do? He grabbed a man named Moses and sent him down there. Why? Because he needed a mouthpiece. Moses stood up there in front of God and said this, I can't talk. You remember when he said that? God said, who made your mouth? Come on now, I'm talking about this. The reason I'm going somewhere with this. I'm saying we're talking about a season of the supernatural. We're talking about now that we're coming into this, we're saying, hold it, wait a minute. Let me understand the mystery of this supernatural. Because I think if I can understand this, I can operate in it. Now, I'm not talking about me. I'm already operating in it. I'm talking about you. All right, let's go over to Matthew's gospel, please. And Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. I believe I got some believers up in here somewhere. All right, look what it said in verse 10. And the disciples came and said to him, "Why speakest thou unto them in parables?" And he answered, Jesus now talking. He said unto them, "Because it is given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it's not given." So it's given to you to know the mystery. What is a mystery? Mystery is something that's hidden. It's something that's beyond natural comprehension. It's something that's true, but it's something that you can't figure out with the natural mind. You can't get that far. So it's given to you. Who is you? The believers, God's children. It's given to you to know something that other folk don't know. Come on now. I said it's given to you to know something that PhDs don't know. It's given to you. You better stay with me. Now, I'm not coming down on degrees, but I'm saying the degrees in the education system tried to take God out. But what has happened when they took God out, they took out the mystery. Now, some of the problems they can't solve because they're meant to be solved on the level of the mystery. Are you following what I'm saying? All right. Now, in this, so as Jesus said this, the mysteries, we are looking at now the mysteries of the supernatural. That's what we're calling this. The process, how it works. When in Exodus chapter 7, can I just cover this? In Exodus chapter 7, Moses was going down to Pharaoh. And God said, now he's going to ask you to do a miracle. Because if you don't go down there and preach what I'm sending you to preach, this got to be more than words. Now, Jesus not only preached the gospel, but signs and wonders and miracles were done, verifying that what he preached was true. And that he is who he said he is. What has happened a lot today in the church, and we're recovering from this, so it's a good time to be saved, is that the church I want to say this right because I want to release it in the right way. God is bringing us back to the supernatural. Many of God's people have not seen the results that need to be gotten in situations, because they have eliminated the God factor. Oh, Lord have mercy. I had somebody talk to me, and these are very, very erudite, scholarly individuals. And after I hung that phone up, or after I got out of that conversation, I said, now these people are saved, and bless their heart, nothing against it. But I said, you know, that conversation did not give any credit to God being a factor in what we could or could not do. It strictly came from them textbooks at that business school. And I'm telling you that the God factor has got to come back in and be included. Now, you and I, God spoke some things. Now, let's go over here. Now, what we said is Jesus said, it's not me. It's the Father in me. He's doing the work. Now, they got on Jesus. They said, now, why are you healing on the Sabbath day? Jesus said, well, why are you going to stone me? I'm not doing it. Now, the reason why I'm saying this to you is because this is the problem in the church. And this is why the church hasn't moved into this supernatural season. Glory to God. Let's go over to Mark's gospel and Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9. Let me know when you get there. Now, a miracle, process of it. If I scratch my hand and I have a bruise, normally, does it get healed? Yeah. Okay. I might put a little iodine on it or something like that, but normally it gets healed. Why? Because once I've scratched that, the body is alerted and white blood cells begin to rush to that area and help to fight the bacteria. That's a process God put in the body. Got it? But in that process, it takes, you know, some days or weeks, whatever it takes. And the same thing about a broken bone, if you have it. God will try, the body will try to mend it. Okay? Now, that's a process. Now, in a miracle, it doesn't take that long, but the process is the same. There is a process in the miracle. You just don't see it. Hello? So now, because I'm dealing with the glory of God, I'm dealing with another dimension. I'm dealing with heaven's reality where there is no time. I don't need to wait on time. But I'm getting this done supernaturally. Are you with me here? Now, a miracle is hard for you, but it's not hard for God. See, you got to understand that, wait a minute, it's not me. It's not me that's doing the work. It's God that's doing the work. I'm just being used, because for him to flow through me, I got to have his mind. But he can flow through me and do whatever needs to be done, and I don't need to wait 15 weeks for it to happen. I can get him to do it right now. Come on now. Now, this is an extension of what I taught you last week. Look what it says here. in Mark chapter 9. No, look at me first. So here's the boy. They brought him to the disciples for them to cast the demons out of his son. And the man brought him to the disciples. Well, they couldn't cast him out. So here's Jesus. He said, verse 19. He answered and said, "O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him to me." They brought him to Jesus. All right. Now, verse 23. And Jesus said to this man, "If you can believe, all things are possible." Come on. To him that believe. So there are things that God cannot do for you until you what? Believe. Now he can do it. Come on now. See, just because it didn't happen for you don't mean he can't do it. So now, believing is a key, so I got to get my thinking right. Because God's got to flow through me to do this. Are you with me? All right, let's go to another place. Let's go to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 9, please. Over in Matthew chapter 9, I should have had you to put something right there because I'm coming right back. Look at Matthew chapter 9. It's given to you to know the mystery now. Matthew chapter 9. Now, as I'm teaching this, this is going into your spirit. Now, your spirit is catching hold to this because the Holy Ghost is now giving you knowledge of God coming right into your spirit. Look what it says in verse 27. And when Jesus departed, there's two blind men followed him, crying and saying, "Thou son of David, have mercy on us." And when he was come into the house, a blind man came to him, and Jesus said to them, "Believe ye that I'm able to do this?" And they said to him, what? "Yea, Lord." And wait a minute. Believe that who's able to do it? See, do you believe that he's able to do it? Now I'm putting you in the man's place. Do you believe that he's able to do it? I didn't say, do you believe that you're able to do it? You got to believe that he'll do his part if I just do my part. You got what I'm saying? See, I'm not believing that I can heal this man. Because that's not the way I believe. The way I'm going to believe is just like Jesus believed. It's not me, it's the Father in me. He's doing the work. I just got to believe that he's going to do his part. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, that's where people get off the boat. Because in Numbers chapter 11, that's where Moses... Now, I'm out of time right now. Can I stop right now? Okay. All right. I just wanted to know because I'm out of time right now. So here, I'm trying to keep my bargain, my part of the bargain here. Okay, I got a few moments. Okay. So here's Moses in Numbers chapter 9. God says, the people are crying for meat. Okay, fine. I'm going to give them meat. But I'll not give them meat for one day or 2 days or 3 days or a week. I'm going to give them meat for a whole month. I'm going to give them so much meat till it comes out of their nostrils. Now, understand, he's talking about 3 million people. Talking about giving them meat, and there's no deep freezers out there in that wilderness. He's talking about feeding them every day for a month. Meat, come on now. No spoilage, none of that stuff. Come on. Well, Moses said, now, wait a minute. If you gather all the fish of the sea... If you gather all the birds I've seen in the air, there's no way you can feed these people. He said, wait a minute. Has the Lord's hand waxed short? Now, what did he do? He hit Moses' choke point. He got to the limit of what Moses could believe. Watch this. He could do. Now, coming back over to Mark's gospel and Mark chapter... Okay, just to finish up what he did there, the blind men said, Lord, we believe. He said, then according to your faith be it unto you. Say, according to my faith. See, you might not be able to believe like BW believes. And because of that, I can get an airplane, I can get a new house cash, I can get this. And it's not because God doesn't want it to do for you. He just needs you to believe that he will give you the house. You got to stop believing that there's a limit on what you can do based on what he can do. You've been putting you in the question. It's hard for you to believe that you can produce $1 million in 2 weeks. It's hard for you to believe that you can do that. Now, if somebody says, well, I know Bill Gates, and listen, let me call Bill Gates and see can he help us out and so forth. He said, now I'll call him. And Bill Gates said, well, let the person call me. And they call him, and Bill Gates gets a call, and you explain the situation. Well, we need $1 million, so forth. And he picks up the phone, calls one call, 30 seconds, boom, hangs the phone up, say, you got your money. All right. Now, he could do that because he had the resources to do what you need to be done, watch this, in 2 weeks' time that you couldn't do on your own. Am I right about it? Now, that's Bill Gates. I'm not talking about Bill Gates. I'm talking about God of heaven and earth can get you $1 million by next Saturday. Debt free. I'm talking about it's no limit on it. Let's go to Mark chapter 10, please. I want you to think this thing out now. It's a season for the supernatural. It's time for God's people to stop being like Moses and trying to limit what he can do. All he needs you to do is believe that he can do it. Now, to do that, you're going to have to get your mind straight because your mind is trying to fight you and somehow take God and bring him down to what you think is possible. Now, that's not correct. Put it up there. Put it up there, the scripture. All right. And Jesus, looking upon them, said, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God, all things are possible. Come on now. Only thing I knew to do is get your believing up. You got to believe that God will do his part. You got to believe that God you serve is a God of heaven and earth. That God that you serve will split a Red Sea. The God that you serve will stop a sun and the moon right in their tracks. The God that you serve will take a little 16-year-old boy and slay a giant and a whole army. The God that you serve will raise the dead. The God that you serve will heal cancer, will heal AIDS, will heal. It doesn't make any difference. Do you believe God? Do you believe he will do what he said he'll do? It ain't about you. It's hard to believe you can do it. But when you jump over into the supernatural, my God, I've got some believers up in here somewhere because you got some problems in your life and you thinking, I got to work this out. You don't have to work nothing out. God is your inheritance. His ability is yours by the book. Boy, y'all making me preach here hard. Don't look at other people because they haven't done it. It doesn't mean that you can't do it. It just meant that they don't believe. What you need to do is not base yourself on what others have done. but base your believing on what God said in His Word. And when He said, with Him, all things are possible. When He said, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, just believe you've received them. When He said, you shall have what you say. When He said, decree a thing. When He said, all you got to do is do what He said. Said. I got some believers up in here now. I can feel it. Woo! No. The woman had gone to many physicians, and she was nothing better, but rather she grew worse. But when she heard about Jesus, she said, now if I can just touch His clothes, I shall be whole. Lord have mercy. She's talking about the supernatural now. She ain't talking about the natural. Oh, let me tell you, when my wife and I first got married, we were all kissy face. Then after about 5, 6, 7, 8 months, I started getting critical. Enemies started to enter into my inner counsel. Well, you know, you just married the wrong woman. That's what it is. All kinds of stuff like that. Next thing I know, I'm considering those thoughts. And, oh, now what am I doing? Got the pot roast. I got some at home today. And I just had to throw that in. That just came to my mind. I had a carnal thought there for a minute. And what happened? Is I was critical about everything. Next thing I know, went to a meeting. Man started preaching on you can have what you say. And after that, I got a little book called Praying God's Word. Opened the book, began to pray. I understand the God factor. Somehow the saints have left the God factor out. I ain't trying to solve a problem the world's way. Let me see how many counselors I can go to. So what happened? I began to read it. My wife is a virtuous woman. She always does me good as long as there's life within her. Bread of idleness, gossip, discontent, and self-pity she does not eat. She gets up early to get spiritual food for the house. She assigns her maids their tasks. She opens her mouth with skillful and godly wisdom. In her heart is the law of kindness. She gives counsel and instruction. She looks well on how things are in her household. The bread of idleness, gossip, discontent, and self-pity she does not eat. And the word is working mightily in our marriage, and we've been transformed into the image of Jesus by the renewing of our mind. And then I put the book down and some say, that ain't true. Yes, it is true. Because every word of that is the word of God. Say amen to that. I started saying that and all of a sudden, the roast got tender. Come on, help me somebody. Today, I have a marriage. Made in heaven. That's what was made at. Hey! I mean, that woman loves herself some BW. Are you following what I'm saying? And I love her too. Now, my point to you is this. Notice, I was trying to solve a level one problem with a level one solution. I needed a level two solution. No wonder the saints are being tossed, because they're leaving out the supernatural. Trying to stay right here in this natural realm and be acceptable by the world. Folks, you better stop thinking about what the world thinks about you. Does this make sense to you? Now, we're going to go into this a little deeper the next time. But now what you got to do is start to take impossible out of your vocabulary. Because with God, all things are possible. Give the Lord a praise, could you? Hey!